Hi, this is Chuck Manning, sports editor of the day, and we're happy to bring another version of our March Madness UConn style. We're down to just one, the one, the proud, Vicki Fulkerson, who is in San Antonio with the UConn women. They play on Saturday at 1 p.m. in the Sweet 16 against Iowa, the number 5 seed. UConn is the number 1 seed in the Riverwalk region. And that game will be in the Alamo Dome, and it will be televised nationally on ABC, which is quite unique. Since ESPN took over the women's tournament, traditionally the tournament's been completely on the ESPN networks, ESPN, ESPN2, the news, and you. But this is the first time this year that they'll be televising games nationally on their major network, which is ABC, which is also part of Disney, which is part of ESPN, and on. But it's obviously ABC and having UConn is pretty attractive, and this matchup is really attractive for one big reason, and we'll start off with that. I don't want to spoil Vicky's preview, but the two most noticeable freshmen in this tournament are UConn's Paige Beckers and Iowa's Caitlin Clark. Paige was a first-team All-American, I believe. Caitlin was a second-team All-American and leads the nation in scoring and is second in assists. And the part about all this is they're good friends. So I'm going to pass it to you, Vicki, and you can kind of fill us in on that, the unique aspect of that, of those two, and then we'll talk about the matchup between the two teams a little bit more.
Paige is from Hopkins, Minnesota, and Caitlin Clark from Iowa is from West Des Moines, Iowa, which are about 250 miles apart, about 3.5 hours apart. And they've played AAU against each other, and they were also on a couple USA basketball teams that went overseas and won gold medals and stuff like that. Paige was the number one recruit in the class of 2020, and Caitlin was the second ranked guard in the country behind Paige. Paige was the top ranked guard, and Caitlin was second. So they're both just very talented. Caitlin scored 35 in the first round. In the second round win over Kentucky, she scored 35. But the thing is that Gino likened it to, say, when Tom Brady's getting ready to face Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers in a football game, and you're like, it's now Tom Brady against Aaron Rodgers, but the whole rest of the team is there too, right? So so it's not really, them versus each other. It's UConn versus Iowa. UConn still has Olivia Nelson-Adota and Aaliyah Edwards, and it's not those two, just necessarily playing against each other in the, horse and the first one to 30 wins. So there's a lot of other things going on, but yeah, there's been a lot of questions about that. People keep asking Paige about it. A lot of people ask Caitlin Clark about it. They're such heralded players. Sue Bird, I guess, tweeted a couple weeks ago that Caitlin Clark was the player to watch in the NCAA tournament. And then this morning I saw a tweet of a video from Diana Taurasi, who said that Paige is the best freshman she's ever seen. She said, when I was a freshman, I was the water girl. Then a couple people got hurt and they're like, oh, hey, you, come over here and play. And she's like, Paige is way far beyond what she was as a freshman.
One thing that's been noticeable, certainly from watching it afar as I have, is it she's remarkably mature for an 18-year-old kid. There's been a lot thrown at her, publicly. And I know, Gino's always tough on his freshmen, behind closed doors. And she's handled it all really well. And I think that's probably why he hasn't been afraid to put her out there. But you mentioned this is really more about UConn versus Iowa. Iowa's, like UConn, has had two impressive wins coming in. Their win over Kentucky was they played very well. They obviously play a tougher schedule in the Big Ten. Maryland, the Big Ten champion, is still in the tournament and a formidable team. Assuming that Paige and Caitlin basically kind of equal each other out, what do you see as the keys for UConn if they're going to win this game beside those two?
The Iowa coach, I guess, said yesterday that, you know, they play a fast-paced style of basketball, and she's going to still keep it that way. And so they asked Gino, why would someone want to play a fast-paced game against UConn? You know, and he said, if I was the Iowa coach, I would do the same thing. I would, you know, you played the same way for 28 games. Don't change what got you here. It would take away from the kids' experience. He said for them to keep Iowa out of transition, they're going to have to make a lot of shots. So then there won't be rebounds, and you're not going to get out on the fast break off a rebound, and also limit their turnovers to keep Iowa out of transition. He said that he hopes UConn can win 90-89. But here's the thing. Iowa gives up 80.5 points per game, and UConn gives up 50.7 points per game. So just defensively, Iowa, hasn't been able to stop people from scoring. And UConn is, scores in the 80s. So, and UConn has been playing great defensively. Ever since they lost to Arkansas, they've been communicating on defense and just really focusing on defense. They give Kristen Williams from UConn the other team's best scorer, and she's been shutting them down. So I don't know, what she can do against Caitlin Clark, but we didn't know what UConn could do against Syracuse and their 6'7" player, and they did it. So they've been talking about their defense and what good communication they have. Iowa is an unranked team. They're in the Associated Press top 25. They've been receiving votes, but they're not ranked. UConn has, not to jinx them, but they have 235 straight wins against unranked teams. The last time they lost to an unranked team was 2012 against St. John's. So, I mean, the odds favor UConn, but obviously, there's a lot going on, and it's the NCAA tournament, so weird things can happen. But UConn would appear to have the edge.
Based on their second round win over Syracuse, I think, and you explained it very well in your game story. They're so talented offensively, and they have such skilled players that sometimes you forget about them on the defensive end. And, that's been an area really where they've been, not just, Kristen Williams shutting down the opponent's best player, but, as a team, like you mentioned, your communication, and they have the ability to shut teams down, teams that can score a lot of points. And it sounds like, you can't always control whether the ball is going to go in the hoop. I mean, you just might have a bad shooting game, but one thing you can control is the way you play defense. And they've really kind of locked in on that end of the court. You mentioned after the Arkansas game, but I think it was really apparent in the Big East tournament. And, the high point game is kind of hard because I just think that the talent discrepancy was huge. But, Syracuse certainly had some talent, and they were able to take them right out of the game. So I've got to believe that the UConn's pretty confident, although they can't completely shut Iowa down, that they have the ability to kind of take them out of their comfort zone with their defense.
Chris Daly talked about it after the Syracuse game, that someone asked her about the communication on defense, and especially with no fans in the stands, it's apparent, like you can hear the voices of the kids, like even on the broadcast on TV sometimes. She said at a game earlier this year with no fans, it was dead silent and there was nobody even talking. And then and now you can just hear them calling things out, talking to each other. She said she could hear Avina Westbrook the whole time. They just have improved so much with their communication, who has to help out and everything like that.
Gino rejoined the team on Wednesday. It's been well documented. He had a positive COVID test just before the day before the selection tournament was announced. So he quarantined, had really no symptoms, which was on the good news. But Chris Daly certainly has been their head coach at other times during the year. But, there's a certain comfort level with having your head coach back. And I'm sure that they feel that's going to make a big difference going forward, that they're going to have him on the bench, for Saturday's game against Iowa.
He said that he hopes that he doesn't screw things up. He's like, CD did such a good job. He's like, I hope I don't screw us up. He called the coaches that were here magnificent. There's a video. He walked into like a little ballroom where the team was gathered the other day, and the kids all swarmed all over him. Probably mostly the freshmen because they're goofy, but they all started yelling G for Gino, and they all like swarmed all over him and tried to mess up his hair. And then he said that he felt appreciative of the attention, but then he saw them all take out their phones and start taking videos and selfies and stuff like that. And he said, I knew that I was just fodder for their social media accounts. They weren't really happy to see me. They just wanted more material for their Instagram, he said. So
speaking of the freshmen, going into the tournament, you know, they've had certainly a lot of games under their belt to not be freshmen anymore. But when you get to the big stage, sometimes you're still not sure how they're going to react. Now, they've handled themselves really well through the first two games. Is there any concerns that if there's a tight game or whatever, that, you know, some of that youth and inexperience could play against them on Saturday?
I don't know. They haven't really skipped a beat. Aaliyah Edwards had to start Tuesday against Syracuse for Nika Mule, and she came out and scored the first six points of the game. You know, they've just, Gino called it earlier this year. He said they have multiple personalities. Like they can be freshmen and silly and, just ridiculous and make him want to pull his hair out. But when they get on the court, they're just so poised. You know, that game against South Carolina earlier this year that went into overtime, South Carolina was number one in the country, and Paige just, you know, scored 31 and scored all seven of the points in overtime. And they just have a poise about them that belies their age.
You mentioned Nika Mule. She didn't play in the second round game. She sprained her ankle in the High Point game. I think there was some thought that she might be ready to go. You know, it might be another game time decision with her on Saturday. Is it your expectation that she probably will be ready to go on Saturday, or at this point, is that still up in the air?
Yeah, Gino said that yesterday that he saw her in the workout room with the trainer, and she was doing much better than she was 2 days ago. And he said, in 2 days from now, I expect her to be even better. So, you know, she was in a boot against Syracuse, like on her right ankle, her foot was in a boot. But she's really tough. That Big East tournament game, she went down in much the same manner and was crying and left on crutches, and then started the next day and wasn't even limping. So they have a lot of time down here. So I'm sure she's been rehabbing it every minute, you know.
You know, we've talked a lot about tangible things that are going to happen on Saturday. There's always that one intangible item that always sticks to me, and that's just seeing the name Connecticut or UConn on the jersey. And it carries a lot with it because they've had so much great success, obviously, with 11 national championships, 27 straight Sweet 16s. Even though this is a young team, they still carry a certain intimidation factor with them just because of who they are.
Before the Syracuse game, someone asked Quentin Helsman that. He's like, they said, well, UConn hasn't won a championship since 2016, you know, when they won four straight when Breonna Stewart was there, and 2016 was their last championship. Are they still UConn to you? Like, are they still as scary? And he was like, no, they're not to me because you know, Syracuse was in the Big East with them, and he had played them so many times, and he's like, oh yeah, we're not scared of them. And then they went out and lost by 40. And then after the game, someone was like, well, someone asked Quentin Helsman, you guys didn't play like yourselves tonight. Was there something wrong, or was it them? And he's like, it was them. And they also asked Chris Daly that in the pregame, the same guy. I think he was from the Syracuse Daily Orange or something. He asked Chris Daly that too. He's like, are you guys still UConn? Are people still afraid of you? And she's like, well, I think I'm the wrong person to ask that. Like, I don't know, you know, but they just go about their business. You know, even if it's seven freshmen, they still, carry that with them. Chris said the other day after the Syracuse, because obviously the 27 Sweet 16s in a row is just unfathomable. That's a lot. Well, it was since 1993, and that was the last time they weren't ranked in the top 25, 1993. And she said that she gets so many texts and emails and phone calls from the former players every single time they play. Like, so for instance, Tuesday she was coaching instead of Gino, and all the old guys like text her and say good luck, CD. And she said like this program isn't just these kids; it's like who's come before them, and there is like a standard to, you know, hold yourselves up to, and I think the kids know that. I think the way Gino coaches, and I think they know that, even though they're really young.
Real quick, if you could give us just a little preview on the other game in their region on Saturday on the Riverwalk region, because if they get by Iowa, obviously the Elite Eight game, the regional championship game is going to be Monday night. I think a lot of people think that UConn has a tough bracket, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about the other two teams.
Well, yeah, Baylor, UConn was supposed to play Baylor earlier in the season, and the game got canceled due to COVID situation, and UConn had their plane all ready to go and they didn't get to go. So a lot of those other teams, like you don't know how they match up. They were supposed to play Louisville, that got canceled. They were supposed to play Baylor, it got canceled. So you don't know how they're going to match up with Baylor. So it should be interesting.
And then finally, Vicky, you know, Texas is an open state now. I mean, they've pretty much limited, you know, all the restrictions have been lifted, so people can go out and about. And I think maybe people are wondering, you know, how that's affected the teams down there. Now, even though I know Texas has, you know, basically lifted pretty much everything down there, masks, opening hotels, opening restaurants, everything else, the teams are still bubbled. And maybe you can, to people that maybe don't get that, maybe just explain what the teams have been going through since they've been there for the past week.
Yeah, well, when they first got here, they had to quarantine for a couple of days before they could even practice. They were just like in their hotels, and they couldn't go anywhere. Now they can go out a little bit. The day after the Syracuse game, they had an off day, and they went on a boat trip down the river where the Riverwalk is, and it's like, they've gotten to have like a little more fun, like as a team, though they're not allowed to mingle with their parents or any other teams, you know, like in the past, but at least they can be together and do stuff together. Yesterday, somebody asked Kristen Williams, like, are you guys even closer now, you know, since COVID? And she's like, well, we should be, we spend 90% of the day together. So I think, they still have school. They're still doing school, remotely. So they spend part of the day doing that. But, I think that they have a room where they can gather at the hotel. Like maybe each team has a room or something. It's like a conference room, or maybe they can schedule it for certain times a day. But they can go in there and eat together. I think a lot of the teams, Iowa said that yesterday, they've been having some meals brought in. So they're not all eating that food that everybody saw on Twitter or whatever, the Salisbury steak that looked like gray waffles. They're having some meals brought in, and they get to eat together in like these little conference rooms and stuff. But they're allowed to go out and walk around, I think, together, but they're not allowed to mix with anyone. Yeah, and they all have masks on all the time at the press conferences and everything like that. Pretty much, I haven't seen anyone without a mask. Like the hotel where I am, it's still mandatory, and the cab driver still had one. Everyone at the airport, it was still mandatory. So I guess people have been saying that if you go walk around on the Riverwalk, there's tons of people with no masks. But all the inside places that I've been, certainly the people are still masked.
All right. Well, great. Well, we appreciate a couple minutes. It might be sunny and hot in San Antonio later today and tomorrow, but you'll be in a nice climate control Alamo Dome tomorrow where the air conditioner will be working and you'll be comfortable for have a good seat for what should be a heck of a game. I just want to remind our listeners that Vicky's work can be seen in the day, every day, as well as on theday.com. We also are producing a newsletter periodically. We dropped one yesterday. You can go to theday.com and find the newsletter, subscribe to it. Enjoy your time in San Antonio, Vicky. It should be a heck of a game tomorrow, and we look forward to your reporting. Please follow her on Twitter at Vicky at the Day. Thank you.
Thank you.